When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com. Down to Biscay.
Yay. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome into Floor is Yours, an extension of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons. If you are listening on the podcast feed, well, just keep subscribing there. So as you know, we are on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and all the rest of them. And of course, on the YouTube channel, we have content going all day long. In fact, I did an episode of Starting Nine this morning where I took some questions. So there may be a little bit of overlap to what we do today. I do want to introduce who we have with us today. You're probably familiar with everyone. Three of us were at the game last night. Brady is the only one who will escape your criticism today because he was not there. Got Greg Sylvander. Follow him at Greg Sylvander. I've got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. Brady Hawk. You can follow up Brady Hawk 305. Got some sponsors today, including our friends over at U-Brake Wheel Fix. We tell you about this all the time. This is the wheel repair refinishing company. You can also get the custom wheels done. That's the really cool website there. Check it out. 305-748-0112. They're based in North Miami. They just moved to a bigger location because we've sent them so much business. Reach out to Mark, our friend Mark Dela Cruz there. Mention Five Reasons, you will get a discount. They'll take care of everything for you, even more special than usual if you let them know about us. And again, if you're watching here on the YouTube channel, you can see some of the work that they do. You can also check them out at U-Brake Wheel Fix on Instagram as well. And again, they got more than 5,000 different custom colors. You want those Miami Heat Vice colors, you can get those as well. You want to make your wheels white hot? Why not do that too? So go to ubrakewheelfix.com or ubrakewheelfix.com. on Instagram. And again, they got a new location in North Miami, so check out the address on the website. All right, let's get to it. The end is near, or maybe it's not. We will see. You can also check out the episode that we did last night. Greg and Alex and I, after I got through some of the laughter at the beginning, it was that kind of night. I mean, Eric Spoelstra laughing about the three-point shooting when he finally looked down to see how bad it was. I saw something today, 23 missed open threes, like wide open threes. But I think the thing that's most disturbing to people, and we are going to get to your questions here. That's what we do a little bit differently here on Floor is Yours. So send them up. And at some point here, I'll signal our producer, Maddie Chang, tonight to get them up for us, and we'll kind of go around and answer them. But I think the most concerning thing tonight is you watch that Heat team get off the bus today. Will Manso took some video when they got to Boston. I mean, yeah, Greg's doing the waddling motion. I mean, Kyle Lowry looks like he needs 6 months off. I mean, really does. I mean, and this thing about not putting Jimmy Butler on the injury report. I mean, who are we kidding at this point? Like, everybody else on the team is questionable, but Jimmy's not. I mean, Jimmy just went from a guy who was having one of the all-time playoff runs to somebody who has made, like, what, 22% of his shots over the past two games. Can't turn the corner on anybody, isn't going for contact. Will's putting this Will's tweet here being put up by Manny here on the feed. You guys can check it out at Will Manso, our friend Will from Channel 10. I mean, is that how Kyle typically walks? He doesn't look comfortable, right? Just roll it back there, man. Look at that. I mean, look, I've been on some long bus rides, okay? And, you know, you get off a long bus ride and you got to stretch your legs a little bit. I understand that. But they didn't bus from Miami to Boston. I mean, they took a flight. They had time to stretch their legs. I don't mean to laugh about this, but he's coming off a 25-minute, 0.1 rebound, 0 assist, 3 turnover, 5 foul game. Don't do that, Sean. You know, it doesn't look real good. So let's just start here right now, okay? Right now. Thank you, Gad. We are going to put Alex in for
some. No, I'm on the injury report too. I'm not even questionable. I'm just out.
You're out. You're out for good. That's it. I've been out for
20 years. Whoa. Don't say that.
Okay. We got some of the comments coming in here. This makes it different from the podcast feed. But let me ask you guys this one question. Right now, okay, if Tyler Hero doesn't play and he is listed as questionable, and Brady, as you said on Twitter, Spoelstra is making it sound like he's the one that won't go. Everybody else will go. You know, Tyler's trying to play. He's on the trip. We've said he's going to have to get shot up before a game. We don't know how long that's going to last. But under any circumstances, do you start Kyle Lowry over Gabe Vincent tomorrow, whether Tyler plays or not? Because I thought maybe, but after watching that video, I don't know. I wouldn't.
That's coming to me, right?
Yeah, or anybody.
I don't know who it has to be in front of, but if Tyler Hero is good to go tomorrow, I basically said on Twitter earlier, we've been talking about this card, the Tyler Hero starting card, like all season. Like when your backs are against the wall in a 3-2 situation in the Eastern Conference Finals, and everybody's already jumping the gun saying about trading him and talking about the trade talks getting ahead of what we're going to talk about, I don't see a reason not to go to it. When we're talking about all season, we were saying, you don't need to start Tyler Hero. Like the starting lineup is fitting well. He's playing well off the bench. But now you're seeing the starting lineup not click at all offensively. Like you're seeing them hit the wall as a group. And then all of a sudden, Gabe Vincent and Victor Oladipo are trotting into the game together off the bench. And they're flipping the game and basically gave Miami a chance in game 5. I don't know who it'll be over. I think because I just can't see them doing to Kyle Lowry like what we think they're going to do. Like I think he stays in the starting lineup. I think there's a potential idea of them maybe putting him in over Max and letting Max operate off the bench next to Depot and Gabe. Like, I just feel like there's something there where they have to find something to click offensively. And if Tyler plays, like, there's a high opportunity that he does not look like what we think he'll look like. He's not going to be as mobile. He's not going to be the same type of player. But I think you have to try it. Like, there's no way you could enter losing game 6 and say, we didn't try that one card that we talked about all season. So if there's one rotation change, and no, it's not Omer Yurtseven not looking injured, walking off the bus. I know that was kind of a takeaway maybe. Omer looked energetic coming off the bus behind Lowry. But Tyler, I guess, is the one card to play as a starter.
That's where we are.
Omer's got fresh legs, man.
We're deciding which guy can put one foot in front of the other, and that's who should play at this point. But Greg, on that note, and we've talked about the Tyler Hero card, there's another element to this. If he's getting shot up before the game and it's only going to last an hour and a half or 2 hours before he's in severe pain, you might as well start him and get as much out of him as you possibly can before he's yelping, for mercy in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. And again, I don't mean to make light of this, but you wanted to get to this position, you know, where you had a chance, where your health gave you a chance. And look, this year, Jimmy Butler missed like 20-something games. Kyle Lowry missed a lot of time. That was more for personal reasons. But we talked about that, we said, well, they'll be fresh at the end. They're not fresh at the end. Now, you raised the whole Lowry specter about getting in shape this offseason. I am curious if that's something that will be addressed. It's probably going to be one of those postseason questions, offseason questions for Pat Riley. And we'll see how he answers that, because I don't know what the relationship is there. You know, with other guys, I've kind of known like how Pat would answer a question like that and what he thought the player could take. Of course, sometimes Pat's gone too far in smiling faces with hidden agendas and that didn't go particularly well. Or, you know, if you got the guts, you don't run out the first door. That also didn't go very well. But I guess I'll go to this. There's one thought that's out there on Twitter, and this is a small minority, that, you know, you play Kyle, you play the vets, and you just squeeze as much as you possibly can out of them, and you hope that this championship medal or veteran medal is going to come out, and you're paying Kyle Lowry $30 million, and you try to make that work. And then there's the other thing that it's like, Gabe Vincent's outplaying him. It's not even close, okay? It's just not. Energy perspective, efficiency perspective, all of it. Which way do you lean?
I personally think that Gabe will be the more productive option at this point, and he's proven that with his play. I think he was one of the only like takeaways from game five that felt any semblance of good, and even that is a stretch just because of the way that it ended on their home floor. But I don't think that that's going to – all hands are going to be on deck. I expect that although Chris Haynes floating an article out there that says it may be time to sit Kyle, that's just ominous to me that maybe that's – prepping for him sitting because he's just not right. For him to have all the zeros in the stat line, like that's not a Kyle Lowry type thing. But Max Strus, and I think Brady touched on something that is very interesting. If they are going to make a move in the starting lineup and Tyler Hero is available, which I think they're going to also be cautious there, but I expect that he's going to find a way to play. I think that getting Max out of the lineup, considering the way he shot the last two games, Max Strus can take a demotion to the bench and it's just fine. Like nobody, that's not an issue. Whereas like this whole idea of Kyle going to the bench, I feel like in an elimination game, you stick with your high salary top players, you play them, you get the most out of them, but you also can make a shift like getting Max out of there and Tyler in. And I don't know if there's really much else you can do. Because this is where I'm coming back to, and maybe I'm jumping ahead here a little bit, but I think that we should get this out into the atmosphere. If this was a normal circumstance where a healthy Heat team just got beat in a game five and was going up for a game six in Boston, hey, like I got the guts with that situation, but it's not the same team. Like I rewatched some of it on my flight back on my phone, and Jimmy just, he's just settling. He has no legs. There's something different there. And if he's not going to be the same Jimmy, like all this other stuff is really, it starts to become a little insignificant to me.
No, I'm with you. And we are kind of talking about the margins here, Alex. That's the thing. Like, you know, we all said it before game five, all of us, you know, if they were going to win that game, Jimmy Butler had to play at a high level. This is the worst Jimmy Butler's looked in back-to-back games this season. And there's no way to just, again, the idea that he just fell off the map and forgot how to play is ridiculous. And I saw some of that, or the Skip Bayless thing that, you know, there's something else going on there. No, he has a knee injury. He doesn't want to discuss the knee injury. Again, to his credit, he's not someone you can pull out. Kyle Lowry is a little bit different in my view. Here's what I would say. I don't like the idea of, say, starting Gabe and Kyle coming off the bench. I don't think that makes any sense. I think if you're going to shut down Kyle, you just shut down Kyle. That's it. I think if Tyler is going to play, I wouldn't play Kyle Lowry in this game. I just wouldn't. I don't think he helps you. Now, maybe I'll be proven wrong. I'm the same person who went over on 10 points on Prize Picks with him the last game. And as I said on the podcast, he only missed by 10. But I don't think it's happening. He's not functional. He's dribbling down the court and he's basically stopping 30 feet from the basket, picking up his dribble, passing to somebody and pointing where they should go. I mean, we talk about playing 4-on-5. I mean, it's that's what this is like, you know, so I would just sit in period. I would just start Gabe from the very beginning. And I don't even think I'd have Kyle in the rotation for this game.
It's a hot take, but honestly, it's an understandable one. Like, I think Kyle, if you want to make that case, it's one that I, you know, I'm willing to listen to. Like, you know, like Leif said, if he's feeling all right to play, go ahead and play him. That's your guy. But like, I'm also with you in the sense that, like, if you're not going to – it's either he plays and he starts or you don't play him at all. It's kind of where I'm at. But, you know, not that starting Gabe is a bad idea or anything like that. Gabe has been great. I just kind of like, you know, the duo of him and Depot coming off the bench together. I like what they've done when they've come in together these past couple games without Tyler. You know, the bench production has actually been pretty solid relative to what everybody else is giving you, right, against an elite defense and everything with a lot of pressure usually because they're coming in and having to make up for what the starters have not done. So I've been impressed with what they've done, and it's kind of made me more open to the idea of starting Tyler, right? Because it's like, you know, it's now or never, right? Not only because, you know, Tyler might be coming back next game, whether that happens, we don't know yet, but it would be something I think that they wouldn't expect. Max is obviously playing hurt, you know, maybe they would expect Duncan to play. You know, I'm not against Duncan starting if Max isn't feeling good. I just think they have a lot of things they can do at this point because their backs are against the wall. This is that point that we've been talking about. It's like this is the time where Spo in the past has tended to make kind of a quote-unquote bold move. This is the point where he'll finally start Mario Chalmers or, you know, I can't think of another one right now. But I'm just trying to wrap my mind around, like, how they actually win these two games. And I don't really know that lineup changes have much to do with it. But I'm just open to anything right now because, Jimmy being hurt and all of that, it just kind of makes everything else moot. We're just, like, playing around now. If their best players are not playing at a high level, everything else, I don't know how much it matters.
Well, that's the thing about the fact
that they can't hit any type of shots, you know.
All right, we're going to get to the comments. Manny, pull it back, but I do want to get to all the Super Chat comments. We're going to get to those here after the break. I'll just say one thing about this. There's a lot of things he can do that Spoelstra can do, and none of them seem like good options right now. That's kind of where this team is at. Whereas we've talked all year that he held all these cards that can play them at this point, this point, this point. There is no option that looks good right now. Like starting Tyler Hero, yeah, maybe you do play that card now. You're basically putting a guy back in the starting lineup who hasn't started in forever, who has a groin injury that requires him to get shot in the groin before the game starts. I mean,
who isn't playing well?
Right. Who wasn't playing well before all of this? Correct. Okay. So there are no good options, but I do want to get to some of the comments here. So we're going to take those in the second half of the episode. Before we do, we're going to tell you about Better Edge. This is BETTOREdge.com/5reasons. It's the number 5 reason. This is our new gambling partner, not a fantasy partner, our new gambling partner. You go on there, they will give you $20, okay? So if you decide you want to go in and play, they'll give you $20. Here's a cool thing about Better Edge. First thing, it's legal, which is good, okay? This isn't offshore or anything like that. This is legal here in the state of Florida. But beyond that, it's kind of a community platform. So essentially the way it works is, you go get the line you want. The other people are on there. They're offering other lines. You don't have to say Vegas says the Heat are 8-point underdogs. Shoot, if you think the Heat are going to lose by 14, but you still want to play them, you won't get great money on it. But you can find somebody to play the other side of that bet. So go to betteredge.com/5reasons. It's a different way to gamble. It's peer-to-peer. It's a lot of fun. We're going to be doing a lot more on this. We will, whether the Heat continue or not, we're going to be on there doing stuff during the NBA Finals as well. Also, check out our previews and our picks with Sean Rochester and Jim Rodriguez and others. So go to Better Edge. It's BETTORedge, EDGE.com/5reasons. And again, they will give you $20 to play. All right, let's get the comments loaded up. Super Chat comments go to the front of the line. We appreciate that, of course. This comes in from Corbs. Everyone knows you must make improvements in your game in the offseason. Bam played in the Olympics, never had an offseason to improve. He's the same player as last year, no consistent jump shot. The counter to that is we thought that the Olympics would bring more aggression out of him because he was validated by the best players in the world, including
he wasn't used that way over there either. The same
Kevin
way that he isn't used that way here.
Alex
but
is
that,
beating me.
Let me just finish the thought, though. That basically, you know, the way that he played over there, and I was going to make that point, Alex, is that he was a role guy, right? But I did think that it would bring something out of him, and the fact that Kevin Durant was basically, you know, saying this is a guy that I would love to play with, okay, and validating him as one of the best bigs in the league. I guess on Bam, it's this: if we can, I feel like this is we go over this topic all the time, and I you know, We're going to do it all offseason, I know. But if there's one thing, Brady, give me one thing that you would say to Bam, work on this offseason more than anything else.
I think the easy thing to say is, I know we always talk about a go-to. The jumper, I've been saying this for a while, that the jumper is not like top of the list for me. Like, I just don't see him being a guy that's going to be willing to take the jumper time and time again. He's a guy that you need to get to the basket. So for one, I'd probably say a face-up move off the dribble, as Greg's demonstrating, to get to the basket as a face-up guy. Like, that feels number one. And as much as I want to say post-up, because he needs to be able to overpower mismatches like a Jaylen Brown or these other guys, I just don't know if he's going to be a true post guy. Like, I can see him being a true face-up guy. Like, that seems more realistic moving forward in the next season than a post-up guy. It's just not really him. Even when he has a post-up, what does he do? He turns it into a face-up and he kind of swipes through the middle and tries to make a move baseline. Like, that seems like the first element. When you're talking about recency type stuff, I see a lot of stuff about Bam with this last game. The thing about that is that game, they did not lose that game because of Bam. I just want to put that out there. Like, he was not great. There were times where that I think they were looking for him to go because Jimmy Butler's injured, Kyle Lowry's injured, Tyler Hero's out. So Bam's the first guy in line right now that needs to basically take over. But Bam didn't do anything out of the ordinary that they lost that game. They lost that game because Jimmy wasn't playing at his highest in the shooting issues. But that would kind of be my thing, I'd say. It's just the face-up, being able to work as an attacker.
Okay. I have something that I need to make an announcement to Heat fans, because I hadn't been in the arena in a very long time, and this is related to Bam Adebayo. So Heat fans who go to games, please listen to me. Early on in the game, every time when Bam Adebayo touches the ball, the entire damn arena was screaming the word shoot as loud as they can. Newsflash, that is not going to help Bam Adebayo to be a more productive and effective offensive player. Stop doing it. Thank you.
It's Philadelphia fan behavior. It's honestly sickening. It's been happening for a while, but yesterday it was kind of like at a crescendo, because I feel like everybody was really feeling the tension, right? Where it's like, it was a must-win game. And it's just this loud, loud-ass buzz. It's like, it must sound like he's getting booed. It's very loud. It's like, you're supposed to be doing this on defense to mess up the other players. Like, what are you doing, man?
I'm not saying it's the best timing.
It was just, I did not like the looks of that, right? Like, I love Heat fans. I love the way they behave at Heat games. That's just, that really bugged me. Yeah, we're pointing the finger and we're wagging it.
That started during the playoffs last year against Milwaukee. That is where it really built. And it went away for part of this year. And I think the reason it came back in this game, other than the tension, the reason that it came back in this game, I think, is because you did see it two games ago. And so I think what happened again is that Bam showed that it's in him. And then why isn't he bringing it out? But I'm going to agree with Brady on this. Bam is not the reason they lost the last two games. Okay. The reason they lost the last two games is Jimmy Butler is not himself. And the beyond that,
team, for the most part, other than a couple bench guys, you know,
the shooters have been atrocious. Okay. And that's really where this is at. They defended well enough in the first half last night. They seem to have a game plan to stay in that game, and you can't make a shot. And when you can't make a shot, then things are going to fall apart on defense. I mean, your starting backcourt did not make a shot. That's where this is at. This comes in from Jesse Collin. I hope Tim Hardaway from 2001. Oof. I mean, Kyle Lowry
plays the Hornets series.
Oof. No, I will say Kyle's been worse than
he Tim has been. Yep.
They were getting some backlash for the crowd comment.
And Tim felt, I mean, Tim hit the wall. Like, when Tim was good. Tim that 2000-2001 season was pretty good, actually, when he played. When he hit the wall, it was really bad. Sean goes, we got to stop treating Bam like Mashburn. I mean, there's some similarities there in terms of personality, for sure. All right, let's get to some of the other comments here. We're going to get to the Super Chats. Greg has briefly disappeared, but I'm sure he'll be back. Let's go in from Alex. Start Duncan and Strus. Duncan and Strus? All right, hold on. PJ off the bench will bring energy. Let's see if Robert Williams leaves Duncan in the corner like he does PJ. They're not doing that.
No, PJ is starting until further notice. The only reason they stayed in that game early was because of PJ.
Oh, my God.
PJ, I thought they might play Caleb down the stretch, though, Greg, honestly. I was a little surprised they went with PJ instead of Caleb. You could tell
he started to – PJ became less and less effective as the game went on. And again, that's another guy who is banged up.
Yep. All right. Josh Rosen, his comment comes in here. Thanks to Manny for putting these up. We have to get away from DHO where Bam just camps out so far from the rim. We need a new system. We want Bam to feel more comfortable. I'm going to go to Brady on this. They've run less DHO this year, right? A lot less.
I mean, they have, but it's also like when you're shooting 14% from three, like your natural thing is to do is to try to get your shooters going in a lot of ways where Bam's sitting there saying, okay, if we're going to win this game without Jimmy playing at a high level, we have to get going from three. I think everybody that was watching that game said that. And the only way you're going to get them good looks on this perimeter defense is to run handoffs. Like, I feel like that's what it is. And I was going through a lot of all their 3-point looks from this game. And I know Spo kept saying it over and over. He was like, the process was good. All the shots were in our wheelhouse. They pretty much were. Like, a lot of the shots, I think Duncan was 3 of 10 from three. He had a lot of curls that came off the handoff that were pretty open. Strus had plenty of good looks depending on whatever set you want to run for him. So I don't know what that does for Bam. I think the DHO thing, the why it was important is that there were so many pockets of the regular season where they gave the handoff reps to other people. And then the in and out stuff kind of hurt that in a little ways, that when everybody came back together and everybody was healthy, they kind of went back to it a little bit more. But it's hard to say. I think right now they kind of have to do it. Like, I don't think they have another option. But moving forward, I don't think it's crazy to say that they're going to try to get Bam unlocked, as we said before this season, as we talk about a lot, to just get him away from being that perimeter playmaker. I know there was that one play that was going around Twitter where I even was putting it out there where he had a ton of space. I think Duncan Robinson ended up hitting the three off a Martin handoff. But he came in and he had a ton of space where Grant Williams was just standing on the rim saying, get into the two dribble pull-up. And he did not even look toward the rim on that play.
Here's the thing about the DHO this year and Duncan and Bam. It's like Eric can't make up his mind whether he wants to keep them together to help both of them because they are like buddies in that way, or whether he wants to separate them. We saw later in the season he separated them. Most of the time during the season, you know, he was keeping them together. Look, they got to do anything they can to get an open shot. Let me just ask one more thing, and then we'll get to the next question. You said, Brady, that the process and the looks that they got on the threes were good. Can anybody explain the Oladipo and Lowry missing the rim completely five times? There were five of those that I counted between the two of them. I mean, is that
– I have
is
one
there
thing,
anybody to explain that?
One thing that's been bugging me, not an explanation, not an excuse – Just going to throw it out there. Usually at this point, when it's the final four teams left, there's a couple times in this series at least where you're getting at least a couple days off in between games. Hasn't it been every other game? I mean, every other night, this entire series? I'm just going to throw that out there. Probably doesn't help with a bunch of banged up players.
Tournament.
It has been. I will say this, though. I know this has been a big topic on Twitter today, so I actually looked back at this. And if you go back to even the Big Three era, typically the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals at the most will have one more day off for the totality of the series than these two have. They do tend to compress the Eastern Conference finals and the Western Conference finals. I think that some of this is a result. Yeah, some of it is the play-in thing. But again, the Heat finished their first round series relatively quickly. They didn't go seven in the second series. They were given an extra weekend off that they might not have had otherwise. They've been at home for the majority of games. I understand the frustration with guys kind of falling, you know, the limbs are falling off here at the end of the year, but they haven't had that much less rest than other Big Three teams did. I'll just say, I mean, I covered a Big Three season where they played a back-to-back-to-back during the regular season and they swept it. I mean, I don't want to lean into that excuse too much. They've got some guys who are injury prone. They're older. We kind of knew this was going to happen, right? I mean, PJ Tucker, Kyle Lowry, and Jimmy Butler getting hurt at this stage is not all that surprising. I mean, Tyler Herro and Max Strus getting hurt maybe more so, but it's not all that surprising. All right, let's get to more of the comments here as we continue, and we'll get to these a little quicker. I'll throw this one to Alex. All right, go ahead. Comes in from James Todd. We appreciate the nice donation. Thank you. That'll help pay for parking if there's a game seven. I feel like our expectation needs to be adjusted. Amazing defender, but time and time again on offense, he hasn't been consistent. If we can find a second scorer, maybe won't be so quick to blame Bam. I mean, isn't that kind of what we've talked about this, Alex? I mean, he's basically your third option in a best case scenario, right?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, look, I think that he could become a second option. I think that he could, he's shown that he can be that guy, but it's like too little too late, right? With all this, it's kind of the theme that comes back right now. When I think about this, because it's like, you know, somebody mentioned in the comments, he should have tried being aggressive in the third quarter when the game was still in hand instead of when it was kind of already done or whatever. And look, I understand that. I understand the frustrations. Like, he's supposed to be your second best player. And I think a lot of people just want to see him be that guy because it feels like, well, he's not worth it if you're not getting him to be a big time scorer for you. And right now, they absolutely need him to be that guy because they need people who can attack the rim, people who can create shots in general, wherever it's from, just in general, to find some type of, you know, comfortable look and create a rhythm, because they're not getting it from other places that they were able to get it from in order to, you know, get that one seed and be so successful throughout the season and throughout the playoffs. So I think it's kind of this desperation time where it's like, okay, now you want Bam to slide into this role that they totally have not prepared him for at all, that we've been harping on for multiple seasons now. And it just, you know, there's a little bit of frustration in everybody's tone, including mine, because, you know, I find it hard to blame Bam. I really do. Like, I understand if, you know, you want him to replicate what he did in game three. My expectations were not there. It's exactly what the commenter was talking about. Shout out to everybody giving donations, by the way. We appreciate that. But, yeah, like, I just think Bam was really active last night on the boards, on defense, active hands, like getting offensive rebounds. They can't get him the ball in pick and roll. The option, like we've talked about plenty of times, whether it's a dribble handoff or whatever type of play they run, Horns, Iverson, split cut, all that stuff that Brady knows about a lot better than I do. Like, option number one is all about feeding the perimeter guys. That's why you don't see Bam do this stuff until it's too late, because it's like, okay, the perimeter guys have ceased to be able to make any sort of shot from anywhere on the court, right? And it's like, okay, now I'm going to start doing this one-on-one stuff. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Too little, too late.
Ethan, question for you. When Alonzo Mourning was traded to the Miami Heat, he was 25 years old. Mm-hmm. He went on to advance to the conference finals early in his tenure and then got bounced by lower seeds over and over again and did not.
The same lower seed. The same lower seed. And over and over.
So, and that, mind you, he got it to Miami. He was 25. How old is Bam Adebayo? Anyone know?
I think he's still 23, or is he turned 24?
He's not 25. That's the moral of my story.
He's under 25. Right.
So I guess all I want to do is provide that context as it relates to Zoe, just to like realize the guy got 19-10 throughout the regular season, 19-11, whatever. I know that this playoffs he has regressed, and Zoe maybe didn't regress to that same degree, but let this dude continue to develop his game. What are we doing and putting a cap on him at 24? Zoe wasn't even on the Heat yet at 24. Like, so to put a cap on him, he got his first MVP season 5-6 years later. So just chill, y'all.
Well, I get that. And I was there when Zoe was acquired and obviously covered those teams. And I saw Zoe develop his game over time. When Zoe came to Miami, he was extremely clunky as an offensive player. Really clunky. I mean, people don't remember that, but, and that was a time where you had to play in the post, right? And he was playing as a smaller big. Okay. People think of him as a big guy, but he was playing against, that was an era where he was playing against the David Robinsons and the Shaquille O'Neals and those kind of bigs on a night to night, the Rick Smiths. I mean, all down the line, you were facing a big skilled big. Okay. Every single night. And Zoe had to figure out how to get those shots off. And a lot of that stuff was not comfortable with him. His free throw form, all of that stuff was not easy for him. And he had ups and downs. He had ups and downs with his, he had the opposite issue that Bam has. And it's funny because I was talking to you about this yesterday that I wish that Bam had a little more Zoe in him. But Zoe had the issue. I wrote a ton of stories early in Zoe's Heat career about he couldn't control his temper. Like, he was the other direction. He was too hot. He was too alpha. And everybody was like, he's got to take a little bit of a step back here because he kept getting technicals. He kept getting thrown out of games. It takes some time. I understand all of that. The frustration, I think, for Heat fans is that Bam shows it sometimes. And that makes it worse. But I get it. He is not the reason they lost the last two games. The other comment that keeps coming in here, and we're going a little longer here, and that's fine, okay? We'll take
Can
more
I
of these comments.
Can I shout out some comments at some point? Because there's some incredible ones that I think we
got. No, we will. We'll blitz through them. I want to get the super chats, but we'll blitz through them. But the other thing I just want to say here, too, is, you know, you got the Heat fans on here, and I mocked this a little bit on the pod last night, who I see in the comments, play Yurt, play this guy, go bigger. The Heat had 19 offensive rebounds. 19 offensive rebounds. Bam on his own, too small Bam, right? Had six by himself. PJ had undersized power forward. PJ had six by himself. The Celtics had six as a team. They're not losing because they're playing small. They're losing because they can't make a effing shot. That's why they're losing. And their best player is gimping around and pretending that he's not when he is, okay? That's why they're at. And also their point guard looks 85 years old. That's the reason that they're losing. Bam is Bosch. Bosch got a lot of those criticisms too. And again, that was we play. All right, let's get to some of the more of the comments and then we'll just blitz through them. From Darius, serious question with Bam having a ton of space with the team sagging off Jimmy and him not shooting. It's like, is it like that because the Spo's offense doesn't allow him to? I'll defer on this. I know how Alex feels about this. So, because this has been like the topic. No, I mean, about Spo and Bam and all the rest of this. So I'll, Brady, I mean, how much of this is Spo, I guess?
I think to a certain degree it is, because we've seen in games like, what was it, game three, where he's able to be clicking, there's stuff being run from in the high post where he's running, they're running stuff through him in horns and he's turning and turning into an isolation. So there's times when he's clicking where they're getting into that. But then there's also the element of saying, like that play that I was discussing before off the handoff, like that's not a Spo element where you can critique him in that way. Like that's Bam that has to recognize that I have to take two dribbles and take this jumper, because if I don't, everything's going to be collapsed on in this half-court defense. So I think it's a little bit of both. And then maybe I know we always say that and it's maybe a cop-out, but I think it really is. Like I think there's elements that Spo needs to maybe go to Bam a little bit more in certain sets just to give him the ball and say, the early in that game, I know we keep talking about like Bam as a whole in that last game. He was really good in that first quarter. Like when Jimmy didn't have it going, Bam was getting a bunch of putbacks and he was getting the ball. And I even tweeted and I said, like, give the ball to Bam and basically work everything through him. So I think there's elements of both, but I just think there's just too many times where you say like Bam has to just go.
Some of the comments we're getting here, and we will blitz through these. Take that one down for a quick second, Manny. We're getting Kyle Guy. Is he still on the team? Haywood Highsmith should play. Yurt. But it's not so crazy when you think about the fact that Alex's favorite Michael Beasley got minutes in the final game of the 2014 NBA Finals. Talent,
three-level score, pure hooper. So
he's on a big three team with Brandon Rush and Mario Chalmers right now. But that's
biggest show in Miami sport.
Just like Spo got desperate and played Eddie House in game six of the finals in 2011. I'm going to mention this prizepicks.com. Use the code 5 FIVE, get your initial deposit matched up to $100. Some people have asked me this because they already had signed up for Prize Picks, but they didn't use our code. I got this from some folks today. Sign up with a different email address. If you want the bonus, if you didn't get the bonus, if you forgot to sign up with our code, sign up with a different email address. You'll get the bonus matched up to $100, but you got to make sure that you use the code 5, FIVE. We'll do Prize Picks on 5 tomorrow night. I may not participate because after picking Kyle Lowry to go over 10 points, I think I've been banned from that show for future notice. I'm on a really bad run. But go to Prize Picks, use the code 5, FIVE, and again, get your initial deposit matched up to $100. All right. Wow, we got a lot of comments here. We'll get to one more super chat here, and then we'll try to blitz through some of these. Darius, PJ has been amazing the whole entire year, going back to 2020. How do you feel about Bam being put there with the Myers-Leonard type? Like to add size and add space for Bam to play on offense. All right, we don't have to discuss Myers specifically, but they did.
Is Al Horford available?
They're going to look into a player like that. I think you're totally on to something to answer that question directly.
So Bam playing more minutes at the four. Maybe not starting at the four, but playing more minutes at the four. Is this
or an outlandish still at the five, idea? Still at the five, but with a four that maybe has a little bit more length than some of the guys that they've ran out there before. But that doesn't mean that PJ, the archetype, is still not the PJ Tucker, Jay Crowder type of player. But having an option with more length, I think, is absolutely viable to think about.
PJ has a player option, right? Are we assuming, Greg, are we assuming he's going to opt into that?
No. I mean, I would love him to. He would be doing the franchise a solid, but you don't think a contender would give him equal money with maybe another year attached to it? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. He just had a really great season.
I was stunned that Milwaukee didn't pay him this time, so I don't know which contender. I mean, look – They're a team that
complicates everything, because that means that the mid-level is going to have to go to him. And I don't know. So but let's not get there yet. We got a game to play tomorrow night.
We'll see if Pat still says he's his favorite player ever if he decides to opt out of that contract. This one goes to Aaron. Should the Heat calm down a lot, having too many undrafted players as contributors after the season? I think the model is a good model, in the sense of, if you're going to have, you know, three guys taking up your entire salary cap, you need some guys on these kind of cheap, you know, minimum 3-year contracts that give you 3 years to decide whether or not you want to keep them. I mean, they don't have to pay Strus and Vincent next year. They may have to pay Martin because his deal's a little bit different, which is also complicated.
Caleb have been two of their best players in the series, by the way.
Yeah. Right. So I don't think you get away from this. As I've said before, the Heat's problem is that every agent is trying to get their undrafted free agent to Miami because they think they're just going to sprinkle some magic dust on them and make them contributors. The problem with this team is not what we call the fringe guys. The problem with this team is that you're paying right now $28 million to Kyle Lowry, $40 million is plus to Jimmy Butler, and neither of those guys is healthy. And then you're counting on Bam and his whatever $30 million to kind of carry you offensively. So you've got $90 million wrapped up in three guys, or more than that. Like, that's they have to perform. It's just that simple. And this is one of the reasons why the Duncan Robinson debate to me was so stupid this year, because at $15 to $18 million, first thing, it didn't keep them from doing anything this offseason. Nothing. Okay. It kept them from doing nothing. So, Greg, agree with me on that? Yes. No. Kept them from doing nothing, right? The contract is still tradable in a year or two. And look, it's still not a huge chunk of what we're talking about overall when you're getting no production out of your $30 million point guard right now, and when your star player is gimpy. Like, that's not the Duncan contract to me. When you got what you got out of Max Strus this year was not the issue. That's how I view it.
96 of the 133 million is Kyle, Jimmy, and Bam. So
they have to perform. And then if two of them are not healthy enough to perform, and one of them doesn't want to do it every night, then that's where you're getting eliminated.
72% of the salary is those three guys.
That's where it's at. Okay. First thing, should we do this, the Embiid stuff?
No, save it for the offseason.
We got 39 minutes. We've gone enough. We got episodes to crank out.
We got episodes. Ethan was there when Bob Cousy was acquired. I was. Actually, Ben, I am Bob Cousy. I am. I move about as well as Bob Cousy at this day. I can tell you, Mad Dog, probably on First Take. I didn't watch First Take yesterday, but I'm sure he talked a lot about Bob Cousy. Because you know he likes those. We know what Mad Dog likes. Anyway, Zoe would be wait, that was a slanderous
disrespectful
comment,
man. Disrespectful.
I got Zoe would going not on be a run. Robin Williams in today's game. We can't stop him at that stand.
No. Hold on. See, I'm saying, because she's been going on a run slandering Bosch, slandering Zoe, and then apparently the only player she likes is Chalmers. But the real comment I wanted to highlight I wanted to highlight was, I think, talking movies. I'm over here looking for it. He said, oh, yeah, here it is. The Celtics were up 3-2 in the 2010 Finals, 2012 Eastern Conference Finals, and 2018 Eastern Conference Finals. Let's keep the tradition going for them.
All right, so let's close there. We had a lot of comments that came in, but let's close with that. We appreciate all the donations tonight, but I'll throw this question to everybody before we finish, okay? And again, check out our sponsors, BetterEdge.com. Jeremy Grant is an option. Marcus Hunter, again, he'll be on a postseason pod. I assure you, Jeremy Grant, somebody we'll talk about. BetterEdge.com/5Reasons. PrizePicks, use the code 5, and our friends over at U-Break, we'll fix. Sean Rochester's driving up for the game tomorrow. We're forcing game 7, or you're gluing yourself to the floor in protest. Look,
if the Heat call first time out, that's when you do it.
Sean is good at the first time out thing. Plus, Sean will let everybody know on Twitter who the officials are tomorrow night. I think we're getting a Tony Brothers special tomorrow. It's been a while, hasn't it? We seen Tony Brothers in a while.
Do we want Scott Foster, the extender?
I don't think they'll give it to him again in this series.
Let's go. Let's bring the goal back.
All right. But let me get to this, because we're all talking off season. They have no chance. It kind of feels like, you know, when the stock market hits capitulation, where like there are no buyers anymore, and it's like everybody has sold, and that's when the market goes up, right?
This is the Miami Heat moment. Spo said it in the presser. He looked at us and he kind of was like, Like, he's looking forward to this, which is a little crazy.
No, he's sadistic about this stuff. We know that. I mean,
he's like that sicko meme on Twitter. Like, he just loves it. He is a basketball junkie. He had a smile on his face.
He hates being a front runner. He doesn't. This team does not operate well as front runners. We've talked about that all year too. So from that psychological perspective, nobody thinks they're winning this series. Most people didn't think they were winning the series beforehand. Now nobody thinks they're winning the series. If they were healthy, I would pick them in this game because of that. But they're not healthy. So let's all go around the corner because we'll do more of this on Before Floor tomorrow. But Alex, give me the path to victory.
The path to victory?
To bring thing back on Sunday so that I don't go out of town because I'm planning on going on vacation. Give me a path to victory.
Oh, the path is easy, right? You just need everything that's gone wrong to suddenly go the other way, which is, you know, possible. Like, I wouldn't count on it, but really, like, what I'm saying is the stuff that I talked about in a bunch of podcasts at this point. Like, you just need the things that they've been good at on offense to start being good again, right? And I'm not just talking about Jimmy. Like, obviously, an elite Jimmy performance would be great. I just, after seeing that last night in person, I don't know how much faith I have in that. Like, it would be cool just to have Jimmy play at a B level at this point, right? Give you more than four buckets. And I'm not trying to talk bad about it, but him, Kyle, and Max in the second half specifically were just, they looked banged up. And, you know, that's going to be a running theme. But the path to victory is going to be them hitting their threes, them, you know, hitting the in-between shots that the Celtics are allowing them to take, and just being able to generate a little bit more rim pressure, I think. Trying to be more forceful when you're, you know, running your actions, maybe running more off-ball stuff. I think the Celtics have been great with their off-ball actions to kind of get switches they like. They get the Heat scrambling with things like that. So why not try it to, you know, on the Celtics themselves? Like, they have stolen a page of your playbook with the whole running empty side pick and roll. They've been doing that for a little while now in this series. Like, you should do the same thing. Start dropping, you know, just start doing little things like that. I think that you haven't thrown out yet to just kind of mess up their rhythm, mess up their expectation of what they're going to see on offense, because we know those guys don't necessarily have the tightest handles in the world, especially Jaylen Brown. You know, they're not just magically turning over the ball. The Heat have to keep up that defensive pressure, and the shots just need to revert, man. And, you know, there's a shot that they do tomorrow. We'll see.
I got the blueprint. Go ahead. Listen, go back and look at this game three box score. Jimmy had 8 points in 19 minutes. He was basically a non-factor. He didn't carry them to victory there. They had an exemplary performance from Bam Adebayo. They're going to need that again in some form. It doesn't need to be 31 and 10 and 6.
That's a given.
3-point shooting has to be just relatively respectable. 33% was what it was in game three. So just respectable, just not 15%. So Spo's not laughing at post game. And this is the biggest one. If they want to win this game, they got to force Boston into turnovers. They started to do it at the beginning of the game in game five. They didn't continue to do it in the second half. They forced them into 23 turnovers in that game three victory. That's the path. It's those three things. Bam, shooting just respectively. It doesn't have to be 40%. 33 is fine. And then forcing the turnovers. That's the path.
I think if one of their starting guards makes a shot, I mean, that's already that. I mean, they made one shot in two games. Go ahead, Brady.
Yeah, they hit on a lot of stuff that I would be talking about. But I want to say, if you're looking for a positive outlook, if this was a situation where they're down 3-2 to the Bucks, and you're saying, okay, we have no answer for Giannis Antetokounmpo, maybe there's like something, an offensive tweak that you just can't overcome over matchup-wise. But when you're sitting here in this series, like, a lot of this stuff is fixable. Like, there's schematic stuff that it's just as simple as you guys were talking about, as forcing turnovers or hitting threes or spacing the floor and kind of taking advantage that way. I think the only way they really can win this game is if Jimmy Butler has a big game. Like, I think if he has like an 8-point game like that, I just can't see them pulling this one out in Boston. In this scenario, I think it's just hard to say, because I'm with you, Ethan. I would have totally predicted that if he wasn't healthy. But the way he's looked and the jumpers he's taking and the one-legged kind of fades he gets into just shows his not body where it's at, not going at the rim. And by the way, like, something that's happened all season is that the shooting has been bad all playoff run. Like, that should be said up front. But Jimmy Butler and shooting goes hand in hand with this Heat team. Like, when Jimmy Butler has it rolling, the shooting looks a whole lot better. Because, yes, the process looked good in that game. It looked decent, I will say, not good. But when Jimmy Butler is attacking and he's pulling these defenders down, that's what gives them better looks. And then obviously it comes down to them actually hitting it. but that's what's needed. If Jimmy Butler is a primary attacker in this game, I think they have a fighting chance. But if he's not, and it's relying on Bam, and then maybe it's relying on certain shooters, yeah, maybe enjoy your vacation, Ethan, because I don't know if that's actually going to happen. But I want to say the last thing I'll say is, relating back to last game that can't happen this game, we're sitting here in a lot of this talking about shooting and talking about Duncan and talking about Max Strus. If you're relying on those two guys to win you a game in the Eastern Conference Finals to force a game seven, you're not in a good spot and you're not going to win. Like, Jimmy Butler injured or not, he's the guy. Bam Adebayo, he's the guy. These top guys are the guys, because Max Strus and Duncan Robinson are the add-ons to kind of feeding into to them having a fighting chance. They're not going to be the reasons they win this game.
I'll go to this.
Can we shout out Candace H one more time? She commented, Bam stat line tomorrow, 37 handoffs, 20 pump fakes. See, if you're going to slander Bam, at least be funny. Shout out to her. I don't agree with everything she says, but she's making me laugh.
Well, actually, the best comment that came in was from Kendall, which said that Kyle signed up on 100 different emails at Prize Picks using code 5. and went under on all of them. I don't know if he needs to. He's making $90 million over the next 3 years. I mean, that bonus only covers you up to $100. So I don't know.
Maybe he's paying his fines for not passing the body fat percentage.
Well, that's another. That's an off-season discussion we're going to have.
Hello, here's five where I'm keeping up on the long shot pod in the charts.
Yeah, well, after this episode, we may go down. Let me close here. Here's to me the path to victory. Obviously, Brady's hit on the Jimmy thing, but to me, the path to victory is defense for this team. I don't have any confidence in the shooting to normalize. I just don't. We've watched this the whole playoffs. They were first in the league in 3-point percentage on decent volume during the regular season. They're in the bottom four of all 16 teams that have participated in the playoffs in 3-point shooting. I don't see, 35%. I mean, that seems like a pipe dream at this point. You know, I'll take 28%. The free throw shooting is not going to normalize in Boston unless the NBA really wants this series extended. Now, remember, the NBA can't start the finals. They're not bumping up. So they're going to start the finals next Thursday. If Golden State wins tonight, then it would behoove the NBA to have another Miami game against Boston and a game seven, which could be helpful there. So maybe the calls are a little bit more in Miami's favor. We'll see. We know that these things happen. But to me, it's about defense. And so to me, it is this. And I think, Brady, you hit on it. The Boston Celtics are good. Okay. They are not a dominant team. All right. They are a flawed team in some ways. Their two stars can be extremely inefficient. And sometimes they don't play off each other that well. As you guys mentioned, Jaylen Brown can't handle. Tatum goes through long stretches where he's missing a ton of shots. The Celtics are not overwhelming Miami right now, okay? I think Miami's defense could prove overwhelming in a game. And I think we saw it in the first half of the last game. They held Boston to 37 points. So to me, it's doubling down on that. You know, at this point, I'm not expecting the Bam rise up game here. But Bam, play like the defensive player of the year. Okay, because you're going to have to, because you have Jimmy and Kyle, who are good defenders. Obviously, Jimmy's an elite defender who can't play at that level right now. So to me, to win this game, this has got to be, 97, 91, skin of your teeth. It's got to be a lot of Gabe Vincent, a lot of Caleb Martin, a lot of Victor Oladipo. If they make a three, fantastic. I'm not counting on that. I don't want to play more Duncan Robinson for him to pick up two cheap fouls and get into the penalty early in the game because you're trying to get somebody going as a shooter. This has got to be a grind it out, get out in transition, live ball turnovers, try to convert.
Get to the rim.
There's only one guy on the team who's getting to the rim right now, and that's Caleb Martin. So I would play a lot of him. I'd play a lot of Gabe. I'd play Vic and just tell him, don't shoot from three, please. And that's the direction that I would go. And I think they may be able to steal it. And also, there are some tough sons of bitches on this team. And I don't think they're going to go quietly. I really don't. Okay. I think they're going to compete. I think Eric, like you said, embraces this kind of challenge. We'll see if it's enough, but he can't stick with Kyle Lowry for 25 minutes in this game looking like that. You can have one guy who's ineffective and can't do anything. Jimmy's got to play, okay? Which means you can't have Kyle out there with him. In my view, I would start Gabe Vincent no matter what. That's where I'm at right now. All right, check out our sponsors, betteredge.com/5reasons. Prize Picks, use the code 5. You Break, Wheel Fix. Check out our off-the-floor feed. I don't know if I'm going to do a starting nine tomorrow. I might. So if I do, you know, if you guys subscribe, you'll get that as well. Post up 5R tomorrow. Who knows? If the season ends, maybe we'll all pop on there with and harass Royal on that one, because they're going to be packing up the whole damn team. We know that. Have a good night, everybody.
I shouldn't have done pregame, man. See y'all for game 7.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.